not to get you all riled up, but we have a Zionist that's been going on here for a while filming us, so I just want him to hear us really, really loudly right now, okay? Say it loud! Say it clear!
Say it loud!
Yeah.
organizers. I think you agree.
Yes.
I don't remember.
Yes.
So please introduce that person.
Yes.
Thank you, Lina. Our first speaker is Dr. Dana Mustafa from Artsen voor Gaza. Please welcome her to talk about the statement of today. Thank you.
You are the free people in the world. Thank you for being here, all of you. I'm a scientist. I spent my life studying cancer, how it grows, how it spreads, and how it kills. But today I'm not going to talk to you about cancer cells. I'm here to talk about a different kind of disease, one that deliberately man-made and currently killing the people whose job is to save lives. I'm talking about the Israeli systematic destruction of healthcare in Gaza and detention, torture, and killing of the very people who wear the white coat. Let me start with a name, Dr. Hussam Abu Safiya. We see many, many posters here about him. He's a pediatrician, the director of Kamal al-Udwan Hospital. For 3 months, as his hospital was besieged, bombed, and starved for suppliers, he refused to leave his patients, including newborns in intensive care. He buried his own teenager son with his own hands, then went back to work. He was injured by 6 fragments of an Israeli attack and still refused to leave the post. Finally, on December 27th, 2024, staff and patients were forced out of Kamal al-Udwan Hospital. And the world watched Dr. Abu Safiya walk out of the rubble in his white coat toward an Israeli tank, following the orders of the Israeli military arm, because there was no hospital left to run. He has now been held for more than 572 days without charge, without trial. His lawyer said he has lost 40 kilograms. He faced daily and continuous beating on his face, arms, and body. His own word to the lawyer was, "This is the last time you will see me. They brought me here to kill me."
Shame!
Shame. But I'm not here to talk only about the doctors. I'm here to talk about the nurses, the paramedics, the ambulance drivers, the pharmacists, the hospital administration people, the people who rarely make headlines, but without whom no hospital functions. Dr. Abu Safiya is one of the more viable ones. And even so, despite several appeals to Israeli court, it's challenging the legality of his detention. The court have failed to protect his right under international laws.
Shame.
Did you hear about Dr. Akram Abu Ode, head of the orthopedic surgery at the Indonesian hospital? He was seized at the checkpoint in November 23, over 900 days, while evacuating his hospital under siege. Almost nobody outside his family has heard his name. For more than 2.5 years, his wife and children have pieced together fragments of news only from other hostages who were eventually released. Israel killed one of his sons. He was 16. His father doesn't know yet. This is not a story that's trending. This is a man that the world forgot to ask about. What about Nahid Abu Taima, chief of surgery at Nasser Hospital, who stayed behind when his own family evacuated because his patients needed him? His wife has not spoken to him in nearly 2 years. When someone asked her what she needed, she didn't ask for money. She asked for power, for people to protest, to write, to make noise, just like you. Malak Abu Mahdi, 21 years old, a nursing student who volunteered at Nasser Medical Complex in Khan Yunis. The only woman in the list of Gaza medical workers, Physicians of a Human Right Israel, is fighting to free. Her mother received a death certificate for her daughter and only later found out she was alive in detention. These are not isolated cases. Israel has killed more than 1,700 healthcare workers in Gaza and hundreds more in South Lebanon. Right now, 14 senior doctors and hundreds more healthcare workers remain detained, some for a few months, others for ongoing on 3 years, most without ever being charged with crimes. Testimony after testimony described the same pattern: beating, starvation, denial of medical care to medical workers, solidarity, confinement, interrogation that aren't about crimes, but about intelligence, about colleagues, about underground claim tunnels Israel had never been able to prove exist until under these hospitals. So let's ask the question we cannot avoid. Why? Under international humanitarian law, medical workers and hospitals are protected for two reasons. First, because they are civilians. And second, because they serve a vital function in war, keeping people alive. This is exactly why Israel has targeted them. This is why Israel has killed, tortured, and maimed over 1,000 medical workers and destroyed hospitals and clinics where they worked, to make sure the people of Gaza have nowhere left to run, to turn. This is not incidental. This is part of the genocide. Shame. These actions are not new. For decades, Israel occupation force have targeted Palestinian healthcare workers in violation of the international law. Israel deliberately targets the people bound by the oath to treat anyone at any site without discrimination, because hospitals are not only places of healing, they are places of witness. Doctors and nurses see everything. They see the wounds, the weapons that made them, the number of dead. They document, they testify. A functioning healthcare system is a record that cannot be erased. And a population without doctors, without hospitals, without the ability to treat its wounded and deliver its children safely, is a population that cannot rebuild, a population whose collapse became permanent. This is not collateral damage. This is strategy. So today, I'm not asking for your sympathy. I'm asking for your actions. We are standing here opposite to the Red Cross of the Netherlands. We demand them to act. We demand that the Dutch Red Cross use its voices and its access and its full institutional weight to secure independent visits to every detained healthcare worker from Gaza. Visits that are not sporadic, not conditional, not delayed by months. This is the demand behind today's Global Day of Action and behind our protest here, outside this building, that the Red Cross use everything in its power to visit and to provide medical examination for Dr. Hussam Abu Safiya and every Palestinian hostages. We are not asking for a statement. We are demanding access. We demand access because it's not symbolic. When international organizations see, examine, and document, it becomes a real step towards release. Visibility protects people. Silence lets them disappear. We demand the Red Cross publicity and publicly and repeatedly call for the release of every medical worker held without charges. Not once. In a statement that disappeared in a week, but as ongoing campaign, exactly as they would campaign for anything else at the heart of their mandate. We demand that from the Red Cross, and we should hold them responsible for these demands. However, what can we do? What can us do? Leave here today and with one concrete thing. Please write to your representative in the Dutch Parliament and in the European Parliament. Demand they act. Will you do that? Yes. Will you do that? Of the 14 doctors and every healthcare worker and every person, every civilian we know, and put them up everywhere in the city to make sure nobody in the city or in the country claims that they didn't know about them. I study cancer for a living, and I can tell you this: a disease left uncontrolled does not stay contained. It spreads. It takes over. And when it finally wins, it doesn't just kill its host. It kills itself too. Occupation, like cancer, does not stop in its own. It requires treatment. It requires all of us refusing to look away. Otherwise, occupation will suck the life out of our bodies and minds. Wow. It's been more than 1,016 days of the genocide, more than 572 days of Abu Safiya's detention. We need urgent actions to end both. Even worse, it's been more than 78 years of Israeli officially occupied Palestine. Enough! Free the doctors, free the nurses, free the paramedics, free the medical workers of Gaza, and free humanity's right to be healed, no matter who you are or where you were born. Free humanity, free Palestine.
Free the people, free the mind.
Free the people, free the mind.
Free humanity.
Hello everybody. Bint is part of the Rotterdam Front for Liberation and Samedoun. She was supposed to be here today, but she got sick. So she sent me her speech to read it out loud for you. So I'm going to try my best to convey her message. Hussam Abu Safiya. We had heard his name echo through the last 3 years. Dr. Hussam Abu Safiya, the director of Kamal Idwan Hospital in northern Gaza. I say echo because he had been known for his dedicated work for much longer than that. Born in the popular credo of resistance known as Jabalia, he spent years working as a pediatrician, worked for the health ministry and headed the pediatric department of Kamal Idwan before becoming its director during the genocidal war unleashed upon Gaza in 2023. My question is, why are we speaking about someone like him in our context today? Normally in this country, in this context, we don't really care about the professional heroes of oppressed people so much. Even now, most people have forgotten most names that surfaced during the last 3 years. Yet we are still here today somehow. In all honesty, we have to admit it's in all likelihood because Dr. Hussam Abu Safiya became a symbol for something. He became this symbol when he increased the number of available beds during the genocide, because he was present performing groundwork in 2024 when the Zionist militias had bombed every other hospital out of operations. And it's because he steadfastly and openly refused to leave his patients when they ordered the so-called evacuation of his hospital during the peak of the moment of all the eyes that were on Gaza at the time. He stayed tending to them until the very last moment, even though his son Ibrahim had already been martyred at the gates during the cruel siege. He led his funeral and stayed, and it was precisely the striking picture of him walking up the rubble that became nothing short of legendary in the international field. In short, more than becoming a symbol, he was made into one by the acts of the very people slowly assassinating him in silence now. A symbol of everything the Zionist entity wants to strangle, kill, and destroy. And he has been paying the price for it ever since. He has been imprisoned for 500 plus days without charge. The timeline. On the 27th of December 2004, Israeli forces invade Kamal Idwan, burn it, render it inoperable, detain 350 plus medical staff, patients, family members, and Dr. Hussam is taken. There's weeks of enforced disappearance. Family doesn't know where he is. No lawyer access. Israeli authorities initially claim no record of his detention. In Sidi Tamim prison, he reports being stripped, handcuffed on shard stones for hours, beaten with batons and electric shocks, blows to the chest. In Ofer prison, 25 days solidarity confinement, 10 days interrogation. He lost 14 kilograms, his heart condition worsened. He was denied medical care, glasses got confiscated, and his skin disease untreated. More than 500 days he has been held in these conditions, and during his last appearance he said, "This is it, you won't see me again, they are going to kill me." Held as an unlawful combatant, which allows indefinite detention under Zionist law and is systemically detached from the supposed international law and conventions that are set to govern the world. What does it mean to be an unlawful combatant? I want us to sit with that for a second. Cycle back and think about what I just said earlier. Why are we even here? What does it mean in the eyes of the colonizer to be lawful or unlawful? And what does it mean to be a combatant? I want us to go back to the 7th of October, and I want us to think about how people reacted to it. I want us to think about how people still react to it, or the resistance in general. They are combatants. The doctors and the innocent civilians of Gaza are not combatants at all. Only a war criminal would target those, as opposed to the other guys. But be serious. Do you think that someone like Dr. Hussam Abu Safiya would not be considered a legitimate combatant by Zionist logic? He is a fighter, maybe not one with guns and rockets, but he is a fighter, a combatant in the face of colonial logic, and we should not hide this. The colonizer is the lawmaker, the enforcer, the judge, the executioner, and people like Abu Safiya deny them this arrogance in the eyes of the world. That is unlawful and combat. On a deeply epistemic level, and they need to corrupt this symbolism in order to vindicate themselves to themselves, and they are either not able to understand or carry the, this only strengthens the argument in their own hubris. It doesn't matter if one bears arms or not in their eyes. For them, in a very real material way, there is no such thing as innocent or guilty between those two. That logic only exists in those that condemn the resistance while crying over other non-combatants in our context. Or in their case, between the one that erases himself and the one that doesn't. In reality, both of them are innocent and guilty at the same time. The only difference is the point of view, colonizer or colonized, oppressor or oppressed. The one who resists with the steel of the stethoscope, the ladle or the bullet is epistemically the same person. Why they target the builders? And Dr. Hussam Abu Safiya is not alone. Do you remember Dr. Adnan El-Bush, orthopedic surgeon at Al-Shifa, killed by torture in Israeli prison, April 2024? Dr. Iyad El-Rantisi, head of obstetrics at Kamal Idwan, killed by torture, November 2023? 1,057 healthcare workers killed in Gaza since October 2023. Hundreds more disappeared. Doctors, nurses, paramedics. The people who stayed to treat the wounded while the bombs fell. Why are they targeted? Not because they were armed, not out of pure strategic cruelty, not because they were in the wrong place at the wrong time. They were targeted because they built things. Whether they expanded bed capacity during a genocide or kept a hospital running when every other one had been bombed by planes or raised to the ground by tanks. They maintained the resilience of their people's presence on their land by the healing in their hands. That is a form of power. Collective, sovereign, reproductive, and above all, stubborn power. A population that can feed and heal itself cannot be broken. A hospital that still functions disproves the colonizers' claim that Gaza is unlivable rubble, and it would be better if people left for their own good. A doctor who refuses to leave, even after his own son is killed at the gate, is a walking contradiction to everything the colonial projects need to believe about the people it is trying to erase. The strategic objective, therefore, becomes to destroy the medical system, the food system, the means of economic activity, and more importantly, the entire means of a society's capacity to social reproduction. That's what genocide truly means at its core. A colonizer doesn't kill people alone. That is not a new strategy, especially in Gaza, but part of a phased, calculated strategy to establish... to establish terra nullius as a false... A people without a land for a land without a people. From manifest destiny to the ongoing process of al-Nakba in the beating heart of Palestine, from the nearly 20 years of strangulation by blockade to the specifically sectioned off understanding of the genocide of the last 3 years. So I ask again, why are we here? Today we are heeding the call of appearing before a symbol, but we cannot silence the noise behind the symbol. Palestine has been abandoned once again on the altar of the time and by our ridiculously short and narrow attention spans. What if Dr. Hussam Abu Safiya would not be a symbol? Would you still be here today? Aren't the proud oppressed people of Gaza still being martyred and suffering every day in the midst of our deaf and blind silence, under punishing hunger, sickness, bombs, and an encroaching colonial entity? Where are the masses of thousands that filled the streets in 2024? Where are all of us on any other day than this? And where is the bitterness in our mouths when we speak about general demobilization, like a clinical diagnosis of our movement? Are we seriously doing enough to change the fate of Palestine and the world every day? Yes, all of us, and myself included. Is our outrage truly more than a moralistic performance in the face of unlimited soulless evil? Are we truly proud of ourselves for the impotent awareness we raised or the paint we threw as the pinnacle of our resistance? I think we can do better. Maybe not this time around, but it should be a lesson for us. We are not ready. We are not strong. We are not powerful. We are not Vox Populi. These are not inherent qualities or characteristics we have because we care or are the most radically correct people. These things are things that are built, like the people we are honoring today build it, even in the face of the most despotic violence. These things are seized, like the proud fighters in the field seized it, and still do to this day. These things are the product of hard organized and dedicated labor to serve the masses and win them to us. Rather than only making noise every other month and breaking a handful of things every now and then, we need to start building. Although we certainly should not stop making noise and destroying things either, don't get me wrong. What we want to achieve takes genuine power, and we need to organize it for it every day of our lives. Consciously, actively, deliberately, strategically, so our opposition to empire may one day be genuinely material and transformative rather than symbolic. So the sacrifices of the Palestinian resistance, armed, non-armed, active, non-active, all of them may not be in vain. The burst of blood has been spilled a million times over, and we know power won't budge before a power greater than itself, and it's up to us to become it, instead of waiting for it to fall from the sky. Thank you. Gonna start marching. Just so you know, for today, if you get any problem with police or Zionists, the lawyer is Daan Gaasbeek. Yes, if people want to join me. No, we are walking and we are ending city center, so it would be easy for you to go home. Yes. Tahalo, jij Ashara.
Wil je voorop of in het midden wil blijven met de speaker?
Weet ik niet. Ja, zo is goed.
Ja?
Oké. Tahalo, jij Ashara. Free Palestine! Free, free, free Palestine!
Free, free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Palestine!
From the river to the sea!
From the river to the sea!
And Dutch complicity! From the sea to the river! Palestine will live forever! Palestine will live forever. One solution.
فلسطين. يلا يلا انتفاضة. فيفا فيفا فلسطين.
Not another euro, not another dime. candidate.